Okay, so good evening, everybody. Here we go again, you know, having the great fortune to share the Buddha's teachings together this evening. And this kind of opportunity is really quite rare when you think about it in the world, how many people are even interested in the Dharma, let alone taking time out of their busy lives to learn it.
Ya, jadi selamat malam, sampai selamat berjumpa kembali, dan mari kita renungkan betapa beruntungnya kita dapat berkumpul hari ini, dapat bertemu dengan Buddha Dharma, dan jika kita renungkan lagi, berapa banyak orang yang tertarik untuk mempelajari dan merenungkan Buddha Dharma.
Okay, so let's just take a minute and cultivate our bodhicitta motivation. Yeah.
Mari kita sejenak tumbuh kembangkan motivasi bodhicitta kita.
Okay, so come back to your breath for a minute. Let the mind
kita
settle.
Kembali ke nafas dan atur pikiran kita untuk siap.
And then reflect how all sentient beings want happiness and not suffering.
Dan renungkan,
whether we like them or not, this is the foremost thing in their mind, to have happiness and not suffering.
Setiap makhluk ingin bahagia, tidak ingin menderita. Ini yang paling mendasar yang mereka inginkan.
But most of them have no understanding whatsoever of karma and its effects. So they don't think about the long-term results of their actions.
Banyak dari mereka yang sudah memahami karma, dan oleh sebab itu mereka sudah memikirkan dampak jangka panjang dari perbuatan-perbuatan yang mereka lakukan.
And instead, most people just focus on the happiness of this life, on getting money and status and pleasure.
Sebab itu mereka hanya fokus pada kebahagiaan di kehidupan ini, untuk mendapatkan uang, ketenaran, status.
And in the process of doing so, they generate a lot of attachment, anger, jealousy, arrogance, resentment. And so they actually wind up creating the cause for a lot of suffering in future lives when trying to get happiness in this life.
Dan dalam prosesnya, mereka marah, benci, kesel, dan menciptakan begitu banyak penderitaan, sebab penderitaan untuk kehidupan mendatang ketika berusaha mendapatkan kebahagiaan di kehidupan yang sekarang.
They wind up lying or beating somebody up or speaking divisive words or harsh words to get what they want in this life, but again, with no awareness that their actions of this life will bring them those kind of polluted or disturbing emotions, actions in this life will just bring them suffering in the future lives.
Mereka berbohong, berbelah, memukul orang, dan melakukan begitu banyak hal-hal yang negatif yang akan menciptakan penderitaan di masa mendatang ketika mereka berusaha mendapatkan kebahagiaan di kehidupan ini.
So when we really think of this, we have to have compassion for people because their ignorance of karma and its effects completely blinds them.
Kita tumbuhkan welas asih kepada mereka karena ketidakmampuan mereka memahami karma membuat mereka menjadi sungguh-sungguh buta.
And yet those very same sentient beings who are ignorant of karma and its effects, also have been kind to us, and our lives depend on all the things they do to provide food and clothing and shelter and all these things for us.
Dan merenungkan bahwa mereka juga baik kepada kita. Secara tidak langsung kita bergantung kepada mereka dalam menyediakan kebutuhan-kebutuhan kita, tempat tinggal, makanan, dan sebagainya.
So remembering their suffering and remembering their kindness and remembering that they have the potential to become Buddhas, then let's cultivate compassion for them that wants to alleviate their ignorance and their suffering.
Dan dengan mata kasih sayang, dengan mata cinta kasih, dan kita ungkapkan keinginan kita untuk dapat menjadi Buddha, untuk membantu meringankan penderitaan dan ketidaktahuan mereka.
And then because we want to actually reach out and help them, and the best way to do that is to develop all the awakened qualities of a fully enlightened Buddha, then let's generate the bodhicitta, the aspiration, the determination to become a Buddha.
Ya, karena kita ingin menolong mereka, membantu mereka, mari kita tumbuhkan aspirasi bodhicitta untuk dapat menolong mereka, membebaskan mereka.
And let's make that our motivation for sharing this time together.
Jadikan itu sebagai motivasi kita berkumpul bersama pada kesempatan ini.
Then open your eyes and come out of your meditation.
Ya, buka mata dan marilah keluar dari samadhi ini.
Okay. So, last time we were still doing some of the verses involved in mind training, where each verse starts out with a very unpleasant experience that we've probably had many times, and then gives us a Dharma antidote, a different way to think, to train our minds so we don't get so upset when these kind of events happen to us.
Kita masih membahas tentang latihan pikiran, di mana kita belajar untuk menerima sebuah kondisi-kondisi buruk yang terjadi dan membantu untuk melatih pikiran agar hal-hal tersebut tidak terlalu mengecewakan kita.
Okay. So last time, the last verse we did was verse 11, and it was talking about anger. So we got a little bit into the verse, and then we ran out of time. So I want to continue from that now.
Kita bahas ayat 11, kemudian kita kehabisan waktu, dan saya ingin lanjutkan lebih jauh lagi.
And so here's what the verse says. While the enemy of your own anger is unsubdued, though you conquer external foes, they will only increase. Therefore, with the militia of love and compassion, subdue your own mind. This is the practice of bodhisattvas.
Ya, di sini dikatakan ketika musuh dari kemarahanmu sendiri itu telah belum ditaklukkan melalui musuh-musuh luar, maka mereka hanya akan makin bertumbuh. Oleh sebab itu, dengan kekuatan kasih sayang dan ulas asih, taklukkan pikiranmu, inilah praktek dari bodhisattva.
Okay, so what it's saying, yeah, so our anger is our real enemy, But our anger pretends to be our best friend.
Kemarahan itu sebenarnya musuh, tapi yang berpura-pura menjadi kawan baik.
Because when we get angry, anger is saying, oh, those people are harming me, and the anger says, I will protect you from all these horrible people doing all these horrible things to you. And we say, oh, anger, you are my refuge. You will protect me from all harm.
Ya, ketika kita marah, kemarahan itu mengatakan, aku akan melindungimu dari orang-orang tersebut. Nah, akhirnya Anda berlindung kepada kemarahan. Oh, terima kasih engkau telah melindungi saya dari semua keburukan dan rasa sakit yang mereka tumbuhkan.
And so when we get angry, we get a rush of adrenaline. And the rush of adrenaline gives us this feeling of power and control, and I can do anything.
Ya, ketika kita marah, aliran adrenalin kita itu memuncak, ya. Jadi kita jadi punya energi, punya kekuatan, dan saya bisa mengontrol apapun juga, saya bisa melakukan apapun juga.
Yeah. So what am I gonna do? I'm gonna punch this guy in the face, or I'm going to scream at him and call him names. Or I'm going to lie about him behind his back and ruin his reputation.
Nah, akibatnya saya akan pukul dia, ya. Saya akan jelek-jelekin dia. Saya akan bikin dia hancur, reputasinya berantakan karena rasa marah itu.
Okay. So in that way, we may conquer them. We may ruin somebody's reputation, or get them out of the office by getting them fired or something. So we may conquer them, but when we do that with external foes, external people who we think are enemies, actually more enemies come, not less.
Kita bisa saja lakukan itu, kita usir dia dari kantor, kita bikin dia kalah, ya, tapi sesungguhnya itu adalah kondisi luar. Nah, musuh kita mulai bukan berkurang, tapi malah semakin bertambah.
Because when other people hear how we've acted towards this person, then they look at us and they say, that person's horrible, and let's destroy them because of how negatively we act.
Jadi kalau orang lain tahu, maka mereka juga akan berpikir, oh, udah hancurkan saja orang itu, ya, kita dijadikan musuh. Karena orangnya kayak begitu. Jadi cara kita merespon membuat orang lain juga akhirnya menganggap kita sebagai.
So let me tell you a little story where this happened, where I did this. And it's a story from when I was little, when I was in elementary school.
Ya, saya akan ceritakan sebuah kisah yang terjadi ketika saya masih kecil. Saya masih SD waktu itu.
So I was maybe, I don't know, 10 or 11 years old.
Ya, saat itu usia saya 10 atau 11 tahun.
And we had a little clique of girls. There were 6 of us. And we were all best friends. And we all, played together and did everything together.
Dan kami ada satu geng, ya, anak gadis berenam, kita kumpul bersama, bermain bersama.
And then I don't know why, but there was one girl in the group named Rosie, and I can't even remember why, but I decided I didn't like Rosie, and I wanted her out of the group because she was just really disturbing me.
Ada satu anak gadis namanya Rosie, saya nggak tahu kenapa saya nggak suka. Saya mau dia harus keluar dari geng ini. Dia mengganggu saya.
So, I got our little group together without Rosie. And I talked so bad about Rosie. And she did this and she did that. She's a horrible person. And I think we should kick her out of the group, I said to the other girls.
Saya kumpulkan 4 teman yang lain. Jadi kita berlima. Saya ngomongin semua yang jelek-jelek tentang Rosie. Dia harus keluar dari grup ini. Saya nggak mau dia di sini.
So they believed me, And we kicked Rosie out of the group. We got rid of her.
Mereka percaya saya dan kami tendang si Rosie dari grup kita.
And then, okay, so I conquered an external foe. And then the very next week, all the other girls kicked me out of the group.
Lihat, saya berhasil mengalahkan musuh eksternal. Dan dua minggu kemudian, saya yang ditendang sama gadis-gadis.
Okay, so what it says in the verse about, well, the enemy of your own anger is unsubdued, though you conquer external foes, they will only increase. So I wound up having everybody dislike me because I was trying to get rid of one person from the group.
Akhirnya saya yang kemudian tidak disukai semua orang karena ingin menyingkirkan satu orang dari grup. Perhatikan di ayat ini bagaimana ketika musuh dari kemarahanmu itu belum ditaklukkan, maka dengan menaklukkan musuh di luar, maka enemy dari musuh Anda malah akan semakin berkembang.
So you may have had similar things happen to you. Maybe in your family, you get together and you talk badly about other people, and then all those people turn against you. Or in your workplace, you take somebody as a scapegoat and you know, you're with your group and you just shun that person. And, you know, we get involved in these kinds of things. And then it eventually comes back and we're the one who looks bad and we're the one who's excluded because of our horrible speech and our bad state of mind.
Jadi kenyataannya di dunia ini ya, mungkin di keluarga atau di tempat kerja, Anda melakukan seperti ini, nah akibatnya malah kita yang dimusuhin karena kita punya pikiran yang buruk, kemudian kata-kata yang kita ucapkan juga bukan kata-kata yang baik.
And this kind of thing happens not only on a personal level, it also happens internationally on international affairs.
Ya, bukan hanya terjadi secara pribadi ya, tapi juga secara internasional, secara lebih luas.
So for example, after 9/11, when there was the terrorist attack on the World Trade Center and the Pentagon and so on.
Misalnya setelah kejadian 9/11 ya, ada serangan di WTC, di Pentagon dan seterusnya.
So there was one enemy attacking us. Then what did the US do? We put together so many soldiers, we sent them into Afghanistan, we invaded the country, you know, and killed so many people, and what was the result? We had more enemies after that.
Dan nyata sekali ya, setelah 9/11, kita kumpulkan banyak tentara, kita serang Afghanistan, lalu akibatnya kita malah punya semakin banyak musuh.
So right after the terrorist attack on the US, other countries had so much compassion for us, for the US. And then we acted so aggressively, the government acted so aggressively that all those people who had compassion started disliking us because the country became, you know, so warlike. Yeah.
Jadi ketika Amerika diserang, banyak negara yang bersimpati, berbelas kasih kepada kita. Tapi sebaliknya, ketika kita menyerang balik, maka mereka mulai kehilangan belas kasihnya kepada kita. Kita ini jadi negara atau orang yang suka sekali dengan perang.
And so what's the advice we get in this situation? Therefore, with the militia of love and compassion, subdue your own mind. This is the practice of bodhisattvas.
Apa praktik yang dapat kita lakukan? Ini dikatakan dengan kekuatan kasih, cinta, dan belas kasih, taklukkan pikiranmu sendiri. Inilah praktik bodhisattva.
Yeah. So it doesn't say go attack more people. It says You know, enemies, our real enemy is our anger. And so we have to subdue that enemy, the internal one.
Jadi di sini dikatakan kita harus mengatasi kemarahan kita, ya, yang di dalam batin, itu yang harus kita atasi.
Okay. Then the question is, how do we do that? Because we can't just say, oh, I shouldn't be angry, I shouldn't be angry, it's bad to be angry. That doesn't subdue our anger at all.
Bagaimana melakukannya? Karena kita nggak bisa bilang jangan marah, jangan marah, jangan marah. Kita nggak dengan begitu saja kita tidak dapat mengatasi pikiran kita.
Okay. So I am not saying we shouldn't get angry. Because anger arises because we're sentient beings. But what I'm saying is, when anger arises, do we want to remain angry? Or do we want to counteract our anger? That's the question we have to ask ourselves.
Ya, jadi bukannya nggak bisa marah ya, karena marah bagian dari diri kita. Pertanyaannya adalah ketika kemarahan muncul, apakah kita akan tetap marah? Itu yang harus kita tanyakan kepada diri kita.
Okay. Now what happens if we increase our anger?
Apa yang terjadi bila kita semakin marah?
Okay. Well, several things happen. So let me ask you some questions. When you're angry, are you happy?
Waktu marah, bahagia enggak?
Anybody happy when they're angry?
Ada yang marah, ada yang bahagia ketika marah?
Yeah. Is anger conducive for human happiness?
Apakah kemarahan kondusif bagi kebahagiaan manusia?
Now, what about how do you communicate when you're angry?
Bagaimana Anda berkomunikasi ketika marah?
Okay. Now, most of us, when we're angry, there's two ways that we can communicate. One is we become very aggressive. We yell, we scream, we throw things, we call people names.
Ya, ada dua cara merespon. Satu adalah dengan agresif, ya, kita teriak-teriak, kita marah-marah, kita maki-maki orang itu.
Okay, I call that the explode method.
Saya menyebutnya metode ledakan.
Okay. The other thing we do is the implode method. And with this one, we just walk away. I'm not talking to you. I am so mad that I will not talk to you. I will go in my room and I will sit and have a pity party and think about how awful other people are to me. And I'm so mad and they just don't care at all about my feelings.
Cara kedua, cara diam, ya, Anda masuk kamar, lalu Anda duduk, lalu Anda diam, merenung, dan nggak ada yang mau ngomong sama saya, semuanya jahat, mereka nggak peduli sama saya. Jadi itu cara keduanya seperti itu.
And so we close the door so nobody will come in, but we really want somebody to come in.
Kita tutup pintu. Tapi sesungguhnya kita ingin ada orang yang masuk.
So we really want the person we're mad at to come in and say, "Oh, are you upset?" And then we go, "No, I'm not upset at all."
Kita ingin orang itu masuk dan bertanya, "Kamu marah?" "Enggak, saya enggak marah kok."
Okay. How many of you do the explode method most of the time? Yell, screaming, call names.
Yang ngamuk, marah, ya, maki-maki, coba. Time to be honest.
Okay. Oh, only two people.
Hanya dua orang.
Oh, three.
Tiga.
Oh. Just three people explode. How many do the implode method?
And implode.
Don't talk. Oh, two. Yeah. Only two people. I think there's 14 people on the call. Some of you. How many of you do both?
Yang dilakukan dua-duanya siapa?
Depending on the situation.
Bergantung kepada situasinya ya.
Okay. Now, when you either do the explode method or the implode method, yeah, who are you the meanest to? The people you love or strangers? When you get angry, who do you act in the most cruel, horrible way towards? The people you love or strangers?
Kalau kita lagi bersikap seperti itu, kita ini paling kejam ini sama siapa? Orang asing atau orang yang kita sayang?
Who?
Siapa? Ayo. Yo, respon aja. Jawab aja, jawab.
People we love.
Yeah, it's the people we love, isn't it? We would never say to a stranger the horrible things that we say to the people we love the most.
Kita tidak pernah ngomong hal yang buruk kepada orang asing. Kita malah mengatakannya kepada orang yang kita paling sayang.
Isn't that amazing?
Ini luar biasa ya.
And then we wonder why we don't have good relationships with these people.
Dan kita juga akhirnya bingung. Kenapa ya hubungan saya sama mereka itu jelek ya? Kok bisa gitu ya?
So it becomes very obvious, you know, why do people have problems with their parents or their children, their husbands, their wives? Because
orang-orang punya masalah dengan orang tua, anak-anak, suami, istri.
Because we feel like these people are so close to us that we can just do anything and they're still going to love us. So we like go, and then they're still supposed to love us and think we're wonderful.
Ya, karena kita bisa lakukan apapun saja dengan mereka dan mereka tetap akan baik kok sama kita. Mereka akan tetap menyenangkan untuk kita.
Does that strategy work?
Strategi itu berhasil enggak?
It doesn't, does it?
Enggak berhasil, and, bukan?
And yet we keep on doing it.
Kita tetap saja melakukannya.
And it doesn't work at all.
Meskipun I think itu tidak berhasil.
I think when we're angry and we act like that, what we're really trying to say inside of our hearts is, I care about you and I want to feel close to you, but I don't feel close to you right now. I think that's what we're really trying to say.
Ya, sesungguhnya yang ingin kita katakan adalah, ku menyayangimu, aku ingin dekat denganmu, tapi saat ini saya sedang tidak bisa dekat dengan kamu. Itu yang sesungguhnya kita ingin sampaikan.
Yeah. Don't we really want to be close to those people that we love? Even when we're angry? Yeah. And yet our behavior causes the opposite result. When we're angry like that, people just push us away.
Ya, bukankah kita ingin itu sebenarnya ya, ingin dekat dengan mereka. Sayangnya ketika kita marah, apa yang kita lakukan malah menjauhkan mereka dari kita.
Yeah. So it's a strategy that doesn't work at all to give us the kind of result that we really want.
Nah, strategi itu gagal memberikan hasil yang kita inginkan.
Some people, when they have quarrels with the people they care about, their thing that they're most interested in is, I have to win the fight. I have to win the argument.
Ya, satu sikap yang sering dimunculkan ketika orang bertengkar adalah, saya yang harus menang dalam pertengkaran ini.
Okay. Now, if you have that attitude of, you know, I'm going to win this fight, what often happens is, I don't know if it's ever happened to you. Let me ask you that question. But for me, when I have the idea of I'm going to win this, then I will sometimes listen to what I'm saying, and what I am saying to the other person doesn't make any sense. And I know what I'm saying is wrong, but I keep on arguing because I want to win.
Biasanya begini ya, karena saya ingin menang, maka ketika saya berargumen, saya mendengarkan apa yang disampaikan oleh pikiran saya. Dan saya tetap utarakan, saya tetap ungkapkan, meskipun itu belum tentu benar. Hal ini saya lakukan semata-mata karena saya mau menang dalam argumen ini.
Has that ever happened to you? You listen to yourself and you say, why am I talking like this? What I'm saying is ridiculous. But you can't stop yourself because I want to win.
Ya, berapa kali Anda berpikir ini kayaknya aneh deh. Ya, ini kayaknya enggak apa? Aneh gitu. Tapi Anda tetap utarakan, Anda tetap ungkapkan semata-mata karena saya harus menang dalam pertengkaran.
Or sometimes the most important thing to us is, I'm right. What I say is right. And you've got to listen to me because what I say is true and right. And everybody should follow it.
Dan kita sering merasa benar. Yang saya katakan benar. Dan semua orang harus ikut saya, nurut dengan saya.
And again, when I have that kind of thought in my mind, if I listen to myself, I'm saying things that I know are wrong, but I've got to prove I'm right, even though I know I'm wrong.
Dan jika kita renungkan, kita sadar kalau itu salah. Tapi karena saya mau membuktikan bahwa saya benar, saya tetap menyatakan hal tersebut.
And so what we do when our anger takes over like this is we really dig ourselves into a hole where we're quite miserable afterwards because we don't communicate very well with the other person.
Ya, yang terjadi adalah kita akibatnya menggali sebuah lubang dalam karena kita tidak berkomunikasi secara baik dengan orang tersebut.
And when we're in conflict like that, what is really important for us to do is listen to what the other person's concerns are. Listen to what is important to them. But when we are angry, we don't listen at all.
Yang seharusnya kita lakukan saat berkonflik adalah mendengarkan apa yang dia butuhkan, mendengarkan apa yang ingin dia sampaikan sesungguhnya. Sayangnya, ketika kita sedang marah, kita sama sekali tidak mendengar.
I remember one time there was somebody who was really, really mad at me. And I was trying to explain to that person why I did what I did.
Dan pernah suatu ketika ada seseorang yang sangat marah kepada saya. Dan ketika saya menjelaskan mengapa saya melakukan itu.
And then I asked them, can you repeat back to me the gist of what I just said to you? about why I did what I did. And that person couldn't do it. They hadn't listened at all to what I had said, because the anger completely made them blind.
Ketika saya minta dia mengulang apa yang saya katakan, dia tidak sanggup karena dia tidak mendengar sama sekali. Kemarahan membuat dia sungguh-sungguh menjadi buta.
And I know for myself, when I'm upset, it's very hard to listen to somebody. And when they start saying something that I disagree with or I don't like, I instantly want to interrupt and tell them they're wrong and they're thinking in the wrong way and they have no right to say that. So I'm not even listening, let alone having an attitude of compassion or an open mind to try and understand their feelings.
Ketika saya sedang kecewa, saya tidak mendengarkan apa yang mereka katakan. Ketika dia mengatakan sesuatu dan saya itu salah, saya ingin langsung cut, ya, saya pengen potong, saya ingin jelaskan bahwa mereka salah. Nah, itu yang kita lakukan. Nah, bagaimana mungkin kita dapat maksudnya itu yang kita lakukan? Lalu bagaimana dengan menumbuh kembangkan belas kasih?
Okay. So there's one program called Nonviolent Communication, and I really recommend it because it teaches us how to listen to somebody else.
Ada satu program namanya Komunikasi Tanpa Kekerasan. Itu saya rekomendasikan karena mengajarkan kita cara untuk mendengarkan.
Where we try to understand what the other person is feeling and what they may need at that very moment.
Mendengarkan apa perasaan orang tersebut dan apa yang dia sungguh-sungguh butuhkan saat ini.
So nonviolent communication has been translated in many languages. You might see if it's in Bahasa Indonesian.
Ya, dan komunikasi tanpa kekerasan itu telah diterjemahkan ke berbagai bahasa. Juga Anda akan lihat dalam bahasa Indonesia.
Okay. So, just to give you an example, let's say somebody is mad at me, okay, because I told them I was going to do something, and then I dropped the ball and I didn't do it. I let them down. So they're really mad at me.
Ya, misalnya ada seseorang yang sangat kecewa kepada saya karena saya tidak memenuhi janji saya untuk melakukan sesuatu. Sehingga dia menjadi sangat marah.
And they say to me, "Oh, you know, I really trusted you to do that job and then you just flaked off. You let me down. How am I ever going to trust you again? You know, this is, you're just too much." And they're, you know, really angry and saying these kinds of things to me.
Orang ini sangat marah. Dia berkata, "Saya tidak percaya kamu melakukan ini. Saya percaya kamu dapat melakukan ini, tapi ternyata kamu mengecewakan saya." Orang ini mengatakan banyak hal untuk mengungkapkan kekecewaannya.
Now, what I may want to say to that person is, "Why are you getting so mad at me? You're blaming me over nothing. Why didn't I do the work? Because you didn't explain it well to me at the beginning. You know, if you had explained it better, I wouldn't have dropped the ball. And I blame them instead." That's what we tend to do.
Lalu apa yang kita cenderung lakukan? Kita membalas, ya. Kita bilang, "Kamu nggak jelasin dengan benar, kamu nggak bikin saya paham." Akhirnya ya ini jadi gagal. Itu kecenderungan kita dalam menjawab di kondisi tersebut.
Or maybe I burst into tears and go, "You're blaming me so badly, you're treating me so badly."
Terus saya nangis, "Kamu nyalain saya, aduh, nangis ya, kamu nyalain saya. Jangan salahin saya, bukan salah saya."
Okay. So, in nonviolent communication, instead of doing either of those things, what you do is you think, what is the other person feeling right now? Well, yeah. It seems like they're feeling angry.
Di dalam kekerasan tampak, komunikasi tampak kekerasan, kita mempertimbangkan apa sih perasaan orang itu sekarang? Oh, sepertinya dia sedang marah.
And what are they needing? Yeah, they're needing reliability.
Yang dia butuhkan, dia butuh kepercayaan, dapat diandalkan.
They're needing trust.
Ya, mereka butuh kepercayaan.
They're needing consistency.
Mereka butuh konsistensi.
Okay. So instead of getting mad back at them, I'll say, it sounds like you're really upset and angry, and you need reliability. Is that what's going on with you?
Jadi alih-alih kita marah, kita bisa katakan, saya sadar kamu kecewa. Bukankah kamu membutuhkan sesuatu yang dapat diandalkan? Karena kamu butuh saya dapat diandalkan.
So if you say that, that's totally different. It's showing that we care about the other person and we're just guessing what they feel and what they need, but it makes them feel like we want to understand them and that we care about them.
Ya, dengan cara begitu, kita merespon dengan baik. Dan meskipun kita hanya menebak apa yang dia rasa dan dia butuhkan, tapi respon kita itu menunjukkan bahwa kita peduli kepada dia.
And then because we've said that they, it gives them opportunity to respond in a different way.
Nah, dan dengan begitu dia dapat merespon dengan cara yang berbeda.
Okay. So that opens the space to have some kind of dialogue. And so even if they respond and they're still angry, you don't blow up at them. You know, you say, boy, it really sounds like this is disturbing you. Yeah. You really want to be able to relax and know that things are taken care of. You want people to be consistent. So you somehow say again in different words what you think they're feeling and what you think they're needing. And then that opens a dialogue. They may say, yes, that's exactly how I feel. Or they may say no, but then they'll proceed to explain to you how they do feel.
Ya, meskipun di awal komunikasinya tidak berhasil, tapi Anda tetap tidak marah ya. Kita tetap berupaya untuk dapat memahami apa yang dia rasakan dan dia butuhkan, dan sehingga nanti akan terjadi dialog, akan kesempatan untuk berkomunikasi akan terbuka, sehingga orang tersebut akhirnya dapat sungguh-sungguh mengungkapkan perasaan-perasaan dan kebutuhan-kebutuhan juga.
Okay. And then we also have to work on our own mind to subdue our own anger.
Kita juga harus mengatasi pikiran kita untuk mengatasi amarah kita.
So one thing I find very helpful when I face adversity is to reflect on karma and its effects, and to think, you know, whatever harm is coming towards me that I would usually get angry about, well, in a previous life, I've done something that harmed somebody else, and now it's coming back at me.
Jadi kita harus merenungkan tentang karma, bahwa apa yang saya lakukan suatu hari itu akan berbalik kepada kita, sehingga perenungan ini membawa saya mengerti, memahami perasaan-perasaan dan hal negatif yang saya alami.
So it's not a thing of blaming myself. It's not blaming myself. It's saying, in a previous life, I was angry and inconsiderate and mean to somebody else. So it's like throwing out a boomerang, it comes back to you. Yeah, so why am I so upset and surprised that people are treating me this way when in previous lives or even earlier in this life, I've treated other people this same way?
Ya, jadi kita merenungi ya, menyadari bahwa apa yang saya rasakan ini adalah akibat dari karma yang saya harus petik. Ya, dari perbuatan yang saya lakukan di kehidupan-kehidupan sebelumnya atau juga di masa sebelum di, maksudnya sebelumnya gitu, di waktu sebelumnya di kehidupan yang sekarang.
So when I think like that, then I'm accepting responsibility for my part of the situation.
Jadi dengan menerima ini, saya siap untuk bertanggung jawab atas bagian dari perbuatan yang telah saya lakukan sebelumnya.
And I avoid blaming the other person.
Dan saya jadi tidak menyalahkan orang lain.
And so when I'm able to subdue my own anger like that, then it cuts the situation. I'm not creating more negative karma because I'm experiencing suffering due to the negative karma I've created before. I'm cutting that whole cycle.
Okay? Yeah. Jadi saya memotong ya lingkaran ini. Saya kan sekarang mengalami akibat karma yang saya lakukan dan saya tidak membuat karma-karma baru akibat dari merespon kepada karma buruk yang sedang saya alami. Jadi seluruh lingkarannya itu kita potong.
And so I find that that is very effective for calming me down.
Yeah. Dan saya merasa bahwa ini sangat efektif untuk membuat diri saya tenang.
Okay. And especially if somebody has criticized me, if I think, oh, why are they criticizing me? Well, because I criticized a lot of other people. And you know what? I criticize somebody almost every day. And sometimes 2 or 3 or 5 or 10 times a day, I criticize somebody. But I don't get criticized every day. I only get criticized occasionally. So actually, compared to the amount of anger I'm dumping on other people through criticism, what I'm receiving is much, much less.
Ini juga sebuah perenungan ya. Saya sering mengkritik orang, mungkin dalam sehari itu banyak, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 kali. Tapi saya menerima kritik itu jarang, sesekali saja. Nah, sebenarnya ketika saya mengalami sebuah karma buruk dari mengkritik orang itu jauh lebih sedikit daripada yang saya lakukan kepada orang lain.
Okay.
Yes.
So try that. The trick is to remember it when you're angry.
Jadi dilatih ya, caranya adalah ingat ini ketika Anda sedang marah.
And the way to remember it when you're angry is to practice thinking like this when you're not angry.
Oh, jadi caranya adalah Anda harus memikirkannya ketika sedang tidak marah.
So maybe you remember an argument or let's say some criticism that somebody gave you before, you remember that, and instead of letting your mind get angry, you think, oh, this is happening, you know, this happened to me because I've criticized many people before in my own life. So why am I so surprised, you know? I need to just chill out. So you practice thinking like this when you're not, in front of the person in the middle of an argument. And in that way, you develop some habit of thinking like that. And then with the habit, then when a real situation happens, you can learn to respond in that way.
Jadi Ini latihan ya yang kita lakukan pada saat kita tidak sedang dikritik atau kita tidak sedang marah. Nah, Anda bisa berpikir bahwa ini adalah akibat karma saya, akibat juga dari perbuatan yang saya lakukan, dan bagaimana Anda dapat meresponnya, dan Anda latih ini dalam kondisi batin yang tenang sehingga akan menjadi kebiasaan. Akibatnya ketika kondisi yang nyata terjadi, Anda dapat memberikan tanggapan dengan cara seperti tadi. Inilah akibat saya mengkritik orang di masa sebelumnya. Akibatnya sekarang saya dikritik orang juga.
Then there's another way that I often use with criticism. And that is to ask myself, okay, is what the person is what they're saying about me, is it true? So in asking that question, I ignore the volume of their voice. I ignore the tone of the voice. I ignore the kinds of vocabulary they're using. I ignore the volume of the voice. I just focus on the message they're giving and asking me and asking myself if what they say is true when they criticize me.
Cara kedua adalah merenungkan apakah yang mereka katakan itu benar ya saat kita sedang dikritik. Abaikan nada suaranya, abaikan tinggi nada suaranya, fokuskan saja kepada, abaikan kata-katanya, fokuskan kepada pertanyaan, apakah kritik yang mereka lontarkan itu benar.
And then let's say I think about it, and if I'm honest, you know, what they're criticizing me about is true. I did make that mistake, or I was inconsiderate, or, you know, I did let somebody down. What they're saying is true.
Ya, ketika kita jujur, kita dapat menyatakan bahwa mereka benar. Yang mereka katakan itu apa adanya. Saya mengecewakan mereka. Kata-kata yang saya lontarkan itu keliru.
So that's like somebody saying you have a nose on your face. What are you going to do? Say, oh, no, I don't have a nose on my face.
Ya, seperti ada yang bilang, di wajah kamu itu ada hidung. Anda kan nggak bilang, oh, nggak ada tuh di wajah saya nggak ada hidung.
Yeah. When somebody criticizes us and what they say is true, there's no sense trying to hide it. It's like trying to hide your nose and denying you have a nose when they know we have one and we know we have one. Yeah, so it's better just admit our mistake and apologize.
Yeah, ketika kritik orang itu, seseorang itu kepada kita benar, ya lebih baik akui saja dan ajukan permohonan maaf. Tidak ada gunanya menutupi kebenaran itu. Ya, karena itu sama saja dengan menutupi fakta bahwa di wajah kita ada hidung. Tidak ada yang perlu disembunyikan.
And if we just say, you know, you're right. I did do that and I was inconsiderate and I'm really sorry about it. Then the whole thing's over.
Anda bisa bilang, Anda benar. Saya sedang tidak terampil saat itu dan segala sesuatunya bisa selesai.
And I think it's a courageous person who admits that they're wrong. And it's a cowardly person who doesn't admit it at all.
Orang berani adalah orang yang gagah mengakui kesalahannya. Si pengecut adalah orang yang tidak berani atau tidak mau mengaku salah.
Now, let's say I think about what that person criticized me about, and I realize it's not true. I didn't do that. They misunderstood the situation. They don't have the correct information. Again, no reason to get angry.
Sekarang, apa yang dia katakan itu salah. Saya tidak melakukan itu. Mereka mendapatkan informasi yang salah. Nah, sekali lagi, kita juga tidak punya alasan untuk marah.
What I need to do is give the person the correct information. Yeah, because their anger is based on a misunderstanding. So I need to explain and give them the correct information.
Yang saya perlu lakukan adalah menjelaskan dan memberikan informasi yang benar. Karena kemarahan mereka itu berlandaskan pada informasi yang keliru.
So whether what they said is true, if what they said is true, no reason to get angry because it's true. If what they said is not true, also no reason to get angry because it's not true.
Bila yang mereka katakan benar, kita tidak ada alasan untuk marah. Demikian juga, bila yang mereka katakan itu keliru, juga tidak ada alasan bagi kita untuk menjadi marah.
If it's true, it's like somebody saying you have a nose on your face.
Bila itu benar, sama seperti orang bilang di wajah kamu ada hidung.
If what they say is incorrect, it's like somebody saying you have horns on your head. You've checked. No horns. They have, you know, they're misunderstand. They misunderstood. They don't have the correct information.
Bila yang mereka katakan salah, itu seperti mereka bilang di kepala kita ini ada tanduk. Ya, ada tanduk. Anda periksa, dan nggak ada tanduk. Nah, maka mereka mengatakan sesuatu berdasarkan informasi yang salah.
Okay.
Ya.
So the Buddha taught many, many ways like this to help us subdue our own anger.
Ada banyak ajaran Buddha untuk mengatasi ya kemarahan kita.
Yeah. Has Working with Anger or Healing Anger, have either of those books been translated into
Buddhism? I guess so. Yes, yes, yeah. We have. And the first time when Venerable came to Indonesia, we did 3 days Dhamma talk on anger. I do still remember those nights. We spent 3 nights talking about anger. Mm-hmm. I think Ekayana produced the DVD.
Okay. Oh yes, I remember.
Yeah.
So it's good, you know, if people review that and then you think about it, you know, in your meditation session and just really process that. Practice thinking like that is very, very helpful.
Jadi dalam meditasi kita merenungkan hal ini, ya, ajaran ini akan sangat menolong bagi kita.
Okay. So that's verse 21. Now we'll go to 22. I mean, that's 20. Let's go to 21 now. Okay. So 21 says, sensual pleasures are like salt water. The more you indulge, the more thirst increases. Abandon at once those things which bring clinging attachment. This is the practice of bodhisattvas.
Ya, syair 21 ini berbunyi seperti ini. Kenikmatan indera atau kenikmatan jasmani itu seperti air asin. Semakin lama Anda menikmatinya, Anda akan semakin haus. Abaikan, segera tinggalkan hal-hal yang akan melahirkan keterikatan. Inilah praktik bodhisattva.
Okay, so sensual pleasures are like beautiful things that we see, beautiful sounds, lovely fragrances, good taste, nice feeling on our body. Nice things to think about. That's what it means by sensual pleasures.
Okay. Ya, jadi kenikmatan jasmani ya, itu adalah hal-hal yang berhubungan dengan panca indera. Ya. Bukan panca indera saja, tapi ke sat indera ya, 6, yaitu apa yang kita lihat, kita cicip, kita dengar, kita sentuh, yang kita bayangkan. Kita mau semua yang indah-indah, yang nikmat-nikmat yang Magnus.
Yeah. So I want to have a really beautiful house with the things I like all around.
Saya pengen punya rumah yang bagus dengan semua benda-benda yang saya sukai di sekelilingnya.
And I want to hear lovely sounds, the kind of music I like, and also people saying, "I love you, you're so wonderful."
Saya ingin mendengar suara yang musik yang indah dan orang-orang yang berkata bahwa, "Oh, kamu tuh orangnya baik banget loh, kamu orangnya cantik, baik, lucu."
And I want to smell nice perfume and taste delicious food all the time, my favorite food.
Saya pengen mencium wewangian yang saya sukai dan menikmati semua makanan enak kesukaan saya.
Yeah, and I want the room to be exactly the right temperature, so I'm very comfortable, and I want people doing stroking my body in a very gentle, pleasant way.
Ya, saya mau ruangan saya suhu udaranya persis seperti yang saya mau, dan ada orang-orang yang mengipasi saya dengan lembut.
Okay, so what this verse is saying is that when our mind is fixated on these kind of sensual pleasures, always looking, where can I get something that is beautiful, that is tasty, that is lovely? I'm always looking for something. When we get it, it's like drinking salt water.
Jadi pikiran kita atau diri kita terbiasa untuk mencari-cari ya. Ya, kemana ini semua ya, hal-hal kenikmatan yang kita ingin dapatkan. Dan ketika kita menerimanya, ini sama seperti minum air asin.
When you're really thirsty, you want any kind of water, so you drink salt water, and salt water makes you more thirsty.
Ya, ketika Anda sedang haus, Anda ingin minum air apa saja. Dan ketika Anda minum air garam itu bikin Anda semakin haus.
And so it's the same thing when we have attachment and clinging and craving and greed. We always want more and better, more and better.
Ya, dengan keterikatan, kemelekatan, serakahan, maka kita ingin lebih lagi, ingin lebih baik lagi, ingin lebih lagi, dan ingin lebih baik lagi.
And whatever people give us, whatever we have, it's not good enough, or it's not enough, or something's always wrong. We want more, better, more, better. Constantly dissatisfied.
Apapun yang kita dapatkan, yang diberikan orang lain, kita ingin lebih baik lagi. Kita terus-menerus tidak puas, ya. Selalu tidak puas, selalu ingin yang lebih.
So no matter how much money you earn, you think you deserve more.
Ya, apapun uang yang Anda dapatkan, Anda berpikir, saya seharusnya mendapatkan lebih.
And no matter how nice your spouse is to you, or your boyfriend and girlfriend is to you, they're not nice enough. You want more.
Ya. Seberapa baiknya pasangan Anda atau kekasih Anda, Anda tidak cukup puas. Anda ingin yang lebih.
No matter how much praise we get, how much appreciation at our workplace, it's not enough. People still don't appreciate us enough.
Berapa banyak pun pujian dan penghargaan yang kita terima di tempat kerja, itu tetap saja tidak cukup. Orang-orang harus terus memuji saya. Okay.
So we see here the problem in our lives is actually not that we don't have enough. It's that we are greedy and we want more and better. the greed is what makes us happy, unhappy, not the amount of stuff we have.
Jadi persoalan sesungguhnya itu bukan kita tidak punya, tapi persoalan sesungguhnya adalah karena kita terus merasa tidak cukup. Kita merasa serakah. Bukan apa yang masalahnya bukan jumlah yang kita dapatkan, melainkan karena keserakahan kita.
So what this verse is saying is when we see that we're clinging and greedy and I want, yeah, instead of running after all those things, give up the attachment.
Ya, ayat ini mengajarkan kita untuk melepaskan semua keterikatan. Ya, ketika kita menyadari bahwa kita melekat, terikat kepada apa yang kita inginkan.
And if there's things that you have or, you know, that are making you more greedy or that make you jealous because somebody else has better, get rid of it.
Jadi bila Anda sadar bahwa Anda serakah dan Anda cemburu atas kepemilikan orang lain, maka Anda harus singkirkan itu.
But we don't want to get rid of it. We like it so much. I don't want to give it away. I want it and I want more and better and more and better. Even though my dissatisfaction is making me so unhappy.
Tapi saya tidak mau lepaskan. Saya pengen lagi, saya pengen mau, saya mau lebih, saya mau lagi. Meskipun ketidakpuasan saya membuat saya menjadi tidak bahagia.
So there's one text called Precious Garland. And in this text, the great Indian sage Nagarjuna is giving teachings to a king.
Jadi ada sebuah ajaran ya disebut Untayan Mulia di mana raja Nagarjuna memberikan ajaran kepada seorang raja.
And so he tells the king, "Look, you have a whole storehouse full of jewels and gold." Yeah. And it's, what good is it doing you? Because when you die, it's all going to stay here and all your ministers are going to take it for themselves or they're going to use it to bribe somebody else. So you have all this stuff and you're so greedy and attached to it. It's better you give it away.
Nagarjuna berkata kepada si raja, "Lihat, kamu punya gudang penuh dengan emas dan permata. Tapi kamu tidak akan bawa ketika kamu meninggal. Mereka, harta-harta itu akan tetap di sini dan akan diperebutkan oleh para menteri. Nah, mendingan kamu berikan saja." Ya.
Okay. So he told the king, "If you give away some of your wealth now, then you will create so much virtuous karma. And that virtuous karma will come with you into your next life. And it's the cause of happiness in your next life. But if you remain stingy and so greedy, then you're creating negative karma. And that's going to come with you to your next life. But all the things that you're clinging on to are going to stay here in this life. So in the end, you lose out."
Jadi saran atau nasihat Nagarjuna kepada si raja adalah dengan memberikannya, dengan mendanakan harta-harta itu, maka dia akan membawa atau memiliki karma baik untuk dibawa ke kehidupan berikutnya. Sebaliknya, bila dia melekat, dia terikat, maka dia akan menimbulkan karma-karma buruk yang baru. Nah, oleh sebab dan juga jika dia terikat ya akan menimbulkan karma-karma buruk di yang akan juga dia bawa di kehidupan berikut.
So that's why this verse says abandon at once those things which breed clinging attachment. Yeah.
Disinilah ayat ini, syair ini mengatakan tinggalkan, segera tinggalkan hal-hal yang akan melahirkan keterikatan dan kemelekatan.
You know, if you need to keep them, then abandon attachment towards them.
Anda perlu memilikinya, yang Anda perlu tinggalkan adalah keterikatan kepada benda tersebut.
But if you can't abandon the attachment and your mind is very dissatisfied, it's better create merit and give it away.
Bila Anda tidak mampu, maka lebih baik Anda buat kebajikan dengan mendanakan.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So, let's pause here. Do you have any questions?
Ya, apakah Anda pertanyaan di sini? Apa di sini ada yang mau ditanyakan? Apa saja, silakan.
Venerable, may I ask something?
Sure.
Okay. So, Moming, saya langsung ya.
Langsung aja pakai Inggris aja.
Okay. Venerable, when we practice to give away, especially things that we love, it's very common that people normally give away the things that they don't like. So they most of the people they keep the things that they love, those they don't like, so they give away.
Yeah.
So that is what happened most of the time.
Yeah.
So when we practice to give away the things that we love, especially that the things that we are so attached with, such as a good watch, probably I love this watch so much and it means like I have a good memory with this watch. So when we give away, so is it wise if we, when we give the things away to the person in need rather than to the person that we like? Is it okay? I mean, sometimes when we see, okay, she needs this watch better, she needs more than I do, so mm-hmm. I just give away. Mm-hmm. But that person to me is really nobody. I mean, I just get to know her in certain place, and I found that this young lady is very nice. So before I left that place, so I just give her my watch. So for some friends, they said, you are stupid. You give away your watch that worth that much, you just gave away to someone that you didn't even know her. So I felt that, was it wrong?
Oh no, it was right. It was the best kind of generosity.
So that doesn't have to give to the person that we know, right?
Oh, right. In fact, sometimes if we give it to the person we know, we're giving it with attachment. We want that person to say thank you, to say, oh, this is such a beautiful watch. You're so kind. You gave it to me. And we want that. When we give it to somebody who we don't know, then we don't have that same kind of expectations. We're just giving it because we want them to have it.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Venerable, because this has been a conflict because I like traveling. I like traveling. I went to India. I stayed in India for 1 month. Before I left that country, I'd love to give away all my stuff, like the blanket that I use, the things, everything. So happened to be sometimes that I feel that very light in my life when I come back with the lighter luggage.
Yes.
It's a luggage.
And you feel happy because you've benefited somebody else who can really use what you gave them.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter that I'm not going to see her again. It's all right with me.
At all.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, because some friends judged that that was stupid. So I said, really? I am stupid.
That's because they see generosity as business. I give you something, then you're supposed to give me, if not a material gift back, you're supposed to talk nicely about me. You're supposed to praise me. You're supposed to tell other people how wonderful I am. So my giving isn't really pure because I'm expecting back something for myself.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So you want to avoid that kind of generosity. So what you did was very good.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Venerable.
Sure. Now, Moming, you have to translate it all.
Yes, yes. Honestly, simple. Jadi, Iventa bertanya, kita nih kadang suka memberi sesuatu yang sebenarnya kita udah nggak mau ya. Kita nggak sudah bukan yang kita inginkan lah, bukan yang terbaik. Nah, kepada umumnya, Iventa bilang dia pernah memberikan sesuatu yang bagus, jam kepada orang lain, dan bagaimana itu. Nah, sebenarnya itu malah bagus. Kadang kita suka memberi kepada orang yang kita kenal, dan kita berharap mendapatkan ucapan terima kasih. Kalau kita memberikan sesuatu kepada orang asing, kita tidak mengharapkan apa-apa, dan itu malah bagus. Dan orang kebanyakan memperlakukan memberi itu sebagai sebuah transaksi. Ya, kamu harus berterima kasih, kamu harus menyampaikan ungkapan dan sebagainya. Ya, intinya itu ya. Ya, Himawan, kok Himawan, silakan kalau bisa langsung aja. Venerable, I think we have questions, yeah, from YouTube.
Sure.
Okay, we do something out of anger, and it makes other person keep away from us. Mm-hmm. So, what do you suggest so that we can have we can get the relationship back? Because sometimes apologizing doesn't work.
Well, first of all, you have to make sure your apology is sincere. If it's not sincere and you're just doing it because you want the person to come back to you, that's not going to work.
Yeah.
So you have to be really in your heart sorry.
Yeah. Jadi permohonan maafnya itu harus benar-benar yang tulus, ya. Yang dari hati. Kalau semata-mata agar orang ini kembali bersama Anda, ini biasanya tidak berhasil.
And sometimes the other person may be very hurt. Maybe you hurt their feelings very badly, so they feel hurt or they feel angry, and they may not be ready yet to reestablish the relationship. Sometimes you have to give them time.
Ya, atau orang ini sangat perih, sangat sakit, sehingga dia masih belum siap. Nah, untuk memulai hubungan ya, oleh sebab itu Anda harus berikan dia waktu.
Yeah. And sometimes, you know, whatever you do, it doesn't work at least at that time. And then you really have to sit and say, okay, I lost my temper. You know, a relationship with somebody who I really care about, I've broken that trust, and I have to learn from this situation and really work on my anger now so I don't do that again to other people.
Atau Anda juga bisa menjadikan ini sebagai sebuah pelajaran ya, agar Anda tidak melakukannya kepada orang lain karena kemarahan saya, maka saya jadi merusak hubungan saya dengan seseorang.
Because we can't make somebody else accept our apology.
Ya, karena kita tidak dapat membuat orang menerima permintaan maaf kita.
But when somebody apologizes to us, we should really accept their apology and don't continue to blame them and attack them and be angry at them.
Dan sebaliknya, bila seseorang memohon maaf kepada kita, kita terima, kita berhenti menyerang mereka, kita berhenti menyakiti mereka. Yes. So, yeah, ada pertanyaan lagi? I don't see any questions in the chat room. Maybe some.
Moming, carry on with the second questions. Can I just directly to Venerable?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Okay, Venerable. People apologize, all right? We forgive. No more anger, no more feeling hurt, no hard feeling. But that doesn't mean that we can accept them back to square again, right?
Yeah.
Like to the situation before that she made a mistake. Okay, she made a mistake. So she said she was sorry. I said, okay, that's it. I forgive you. It's all right. Make sure you don't do this to other people next time, because that is not nice. Not nice for me is not that what I mean, but this is not good for you in your future. So, but the person insisted on coming back, like because she was my staff in the company. So she begged and begged again to come back again. But problem is, I really can't do that. So it's quite a difficult situation.
Mm-hmm.
We forgive, but we cannot accept to be back like before. Mm-hmm. So maybe Venerable can give some advice.
So, you know, they have this expression, forgive and forget. I think forgiving is good, but forgetting is often not so good. Okay.
Yeah.
So go, Moming.
Jadi pertanyaannya adalah, kita ada kalanya kita tidak dapat lagi menerima seseorang di dalam kondisi tertentu, ya Ci, ya. Artinya ya, yeah, saya nggak bisa terima kamu gitu. Nah, Venerable menjawab, ada ungkapan yang disebut memaafkan dan melupakan. Saya pikir memaafkan itu perlu, tapi ada kalanya kita tidak dapat mempraktekkan melupakan.
So if you really think, you know, that this employee is very sincere and you think that she can or he can correct the mistake and abandon it in the future, then you may want to give them another chance, but be very clear with them about what your expectations are, and also try and meet with them and encourage them and you know, help them change their ways. So you may decide to do that. Or you may think, well, they apologize, but they really, you know, maybe it wasn't sincere, or maybe the person's habit is too strong. I don't really think that they can change. And so, you know, here's an instance where the trust has been broken. And so you just have to say, you know, I'm sorry, we can't take you back. But it depends on, you know, you have to evaluate what the situation is.
Yes, Venerable. I'm not perfect, but I see that there is no chance that in my capability that I can give her another chance, because this has been happening a few times, and each time she apologized and she said, sorry, I won't do that again. And then she did that a few times until finally I really took the decision, that's it. I forgive. No hard feeling, but I really cannot accept you back anymore.
Yeah.
So, I the evening I even feel so sad, because she really, when the very last time she apologized was so, so touching, Venerable. I mean, so she cried and then she said, no, I won't do that again. And then, but then I told myself, no, 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 no more, no more, please, no more. So yeah. I felt sorry, but just couldn't do that.
Yeah, sometimes it's like that, you know, and you feel sorry and you recognize that the other person is miserable. But if it's some kind of repeated behavior, then you've got to say, you know, you've apologized many times, but it, you know, you keep doing it. And so that's just not working.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. If I can give another example, okay. Sometimes there's cases of domestic abuse where the man beats the woman. And then afterwards, you know, she's hurt. She wants to leave, but he comes and apologizes. Oh, I'm so sorry. I won't beat you again. And then she says, okay, I feel compassion for you. I will take you back. And then 2 days later, he beats her again. And he comes and apologizes. And she says, okay, I really care for you. You can come back. And then a week later, he beats her again. Okay. So in this kind of situation, you know, beating your spouse is totally unacceptable. If somebody does that, finished, goodbye. Yeah. And it's hard to do. But if that person is endangering your physical safety, or if you have children and that person is endangering the physical safety of the children, you have to do something very strong and say, you know, sorry, this is not working. That behavior is not acceptable. Finished. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, Venerable. Thank you. So we need to be wise.
Yes.
Thank you.
We need
Thank
to be
you.
Wise. We need to be strong inside and to think clearly and to not let people manipulate us by saying, oh, but please, oh, do, you're so wonderful. I love you so much. Let me come back. I'm so sorry. You know, and we let ourselves get manipulated, and then the person keeps harming. And that's not good for the other person, because they just keep creating negative karma, and it's not good for us either. And it's hard. It's very hard. But sometimes we need to do that with wisdom. Not with anger. We're not mad at them. We have compassion, but we recognize we have to really say, that's enough.
Yes, Venerable.
Okay, well,
okay.
Yours.
Yeah, that's very long, but the point is like this. Jadi intinya kita harus juga arif ya dalam menerima orang yang telah berulang kali melakukan kesalahan yang sama. Ya, meskipun sangat dramatis ya, Ci, ya, sampai nangis-nangis. Ya, dicontohkan
sampai
kalau
berlutut.
Ya, dalam sama juga dalam urusan rumah tangga juga sama, dicontohkan laki-laki yang memukuli perempuan, kemudian ketika perempuan yang mau pergi, si laki-lakinya juga nangis-nangis berlutut, minta maaf, aku mencintaimu, mohon maafkan aku, terus 3 hari kemudian, ya dipukulin lagi. Nah, dan yang kita lakukan ketika kita tidak lagi mau dekat dengan orang tersebut, dasarnya adalah kebijaksanaan, kearifan, bukan kemarahan, kearifan dalam pengertian agar orang tersebut tidak lagi melakukan karma-karma buruk. Oke.
Okay. We have to close now.
Yes, so, Venerable.
Let's dedicate the merit.
Yeah. San, tampilannya San. Today is very fruitful, Venerable. Thank you. I see some people like to say there is no Sutta reference or others Tripitaka reference, but I think the main reference in life is our practice and the fruit of the practice. Thank you for sharing us today.
Yeah. Okay, do you want to lead the dedication?
Yeah, Sis Fanta is going to lead it.
Lisan ke ini ya, ke dedikasi ya, Lisan.
Okay.
Mari rekan-rekan kita melakukan dedikasi setelah mendengarkan Dharma dengan baik pada hari ini. Bangkitkan satu kondisi yang begitu baik sehingga kita mendedikasikan kebaikan yang telah kita akumulasi pada siang hari ini. Dengan kebajikan ini, semoga kita segera mencapai pencerahan seperti Guru Buddha, maka kita mampu membebaskan semua makhluk dari penderitaannya. Semoga batin pencerahan yang berharga ini, bila belum muncul, akan segera bangkit dan berkembang. Semoga yang telah bangkit tidak merosot, tetapi terus berkembang selama-lamanya.
Okay, very good.
Thank you, Venerable, for the precious learning this morning. A lot of things that we learned today, and we wish you have a good rest, good health, okay, and looking forward to see you in the next Dharma class.
Okay,
yes, very good. Thank you.
Take care, everybody.